release the Kraken. Yes, for children's church this morning. This morning we will be talking about a sensitive subject, and I sent some notices out, and it will be sensitive. It will be an issue that we need to look at. And so if you are aware of that and you know that your child needs to be in children's church, go ahead and do that if you would. We're going to start with the application today. Usually the way it goes, you know, you have the exposition of the scripture, and then at the end, after you have reviewed, you go to the application. What does this mean? So what? You know, okay, we've gone through the Bible, so what? But we want to start with the application today. We're in a series called Wisdom for a Wired World, and Biblical Principles for Technology and Media. So would you go right to the scriptures with me? Let's start right there. Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. We've been in the book of Galatians going through a series of Galatians. We've put that on hold for a bit to look at this series. But Galatians chapter 5 is a little bit further than we have reached in our series on the book of Galatians. But Galatians 5 is our passage beginning in verse 16. And let me read. I'm going to read through verse 25. Galatians chapter 5. And it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." It's our passage. So how do we live by the Spirit? How do we do that? To walk by the Spirit here is a figure of speech that means that we are to make progress through life. It's the progress of life, the process of life. And we do that by means of the Holy Spirit. That means we do life by the Spirit. Walking means to make progress through life by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, we have instruction that is very much like this passage. And again, it's Paul. And I want to read that passage to you as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 15. And we have this there. Paul says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit makes us alive, makes us responsive to truth. The truth that God is good, that He is our Father, that He's a good Father who wants to bless us and to direct us in life to that very end, the blessing. So if we go back to Galatians chapter 5, and we're reading lots of scripture, but boy, that's good. If we go back to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, we read this: "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Two realities in the believer's life, in the experience of the believer's life. And they are contrary. And notice that I, or you, as that third reality, are overridden by these two. The scripture says, these two realities are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. In this sinful world, one choice is all we have. The Spirit or not. Spirit or the flesh. And this reality is crucial to the believer. We need to know this. The flesh leads to death. The Spirit, when it follows, kills the deeds of the flesh and gives life. Two realities. That's it. So how do we walk by the Spirit? How do we do this? Well, one of those aspects is to crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Now, this is good news. You can crucify the flesh. You can kill it. You can render it lifeless so that it has no power, so it has no effect on you and me. And that's great news. The reality of Spirit becomes our experience in life when we do that. So how do we kill it? How do we kill it? That's a simple choice. Sometimes difficult choice. And so you want to say, okay, Pastor, last week you told us we'd be talking about the P word, you know. How does this have to do with that word? Well, I was hoping you would ask that question. Back in verse 19 of our passage here, we are given a list of the deeds of the flesh, the behaviors, the actions produced by human flesh. What is that verse? Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. First three words written in the scripture when we talk about the deeds of the flesh. And Paul has a pretty long list there, but these are the first three. Before we deal with them, let's quickly define the word flesh. Okay? What is this flesh? You know, these two realities that we have, the flesh and the Spirit. We know the Spirit with a capital S is the Holy Spirit. But what is this flesh thing? Well, some translations, and your may be that way, as you read through the scriptures, use the words sinful nature instead of the word flesh. But in the Greek, the original language, it's literally the word flesh. It's used to describe, you know, the tissue that covers the bones of the human body, the tissue that covers the animals, you know. And because the flesh is a part of our physical reality, the physical reality of humans, and that the human physicality is the way to express our drives and passions, many times it's equated, and here it is. Paul uses it in this technical sense. It's contrasted also to the Holy Spirit, who is not physical and who is also not sinful. And that's why this simple definition is one that I like to use. The flesh, as used here in this technical sense, these two realities, the flesh and the Spirit, the flesh is the willing instrument of sin. Okay? The willing instrument of sin in this world. And every human has this reality, the flesh. It's a personal reality in that sense. It's something that's part of who we are as human beings. sinful human beings. It's personal to each of us, the flesh. So back to our text. In verse 19 again, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. That first word, immorality, is the Greek word porneia. Porneia, okay? That's the first word. And yes, that is the word from which we get our word porn or pornography. That last part, graphi, takes the original sense of this word, which deals with sexual promiscuity in the form of fornication or adultery, and adds to that the printed form of it, which was originally done through photography, and then it was published. Very early forms of pornography were photos of prostitutes engaged in fornication and adultery with men. They were graphed. They were put on paper. They were printed in order to be published. The industry has grown exponentially from that early beginning. The next two words also deal with sex. Akatharsia is the next one, which is impure desire, deviant desire. And the third word is aselgeia, which can be defined as unbridled excess lust, shameless brashness. And so those three words go together. Immorality, porn, impurity, deviant desire, excess unbridled lust. The top three expressions of the flesh in this passage that we're looking at today. So let me illustrate this. The flesh is our personal entrance to sin. We can put it that way. That's that definition, those two realities. Each of us has flesh. We are sinners. And the flesh is part of who we are in this physical world. We live in a world that was made to be a nice playground for us, right? But because of sin, the world, which is this present system that's opposed to God, this playground has many of these toys and rides that are desirable to the fleshy person. Me. I live in a world where there are toys. And a lot of them are very desirable to the flesh that's in me. This world playground, we know, is controlled and governed by Satan. He is the architect, the designer of many of these fleshy toys that we have. And that's where our list comes in. It comes into play. In our list of flesh toys, to put it that way, pornography is tops. And in our day, it is internet pornography. Tops. Why the internet, Pastor? Well, that's one of the main ways that the enemy gets this flesh toy to us today. Josh McDowell. Many of you know Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell, author of Evidence That Demands a Verdict, More Evidence That Demands a Verdict, of the book More Than a Carpenter. He's now head of Josh McDowell Ministries, which is part of CREW, which was known as Campus Crusade for Christ, a ministry that's been around that God has used much. He found internet pornography to be a big issue. Listen to his words. He says, practically every pastor, youth worker, Christian educator, and parent says that they want to pass on their faith, morals, and values to the next generation. He says, I have spent the vast majority of my life trying to help that mission. About 6 years ago, and this was written a year or so ago, I began to sense something was seriously wrong. Couldn't quite put my finger on it, whatever it was. It was negatively affecting the receptivity of young people to the biblical faith that parents and churches so desperately want to pass on. You hear it there. Something was up that was affecting in a very serious way young people. It was holding them back from receiving the faith that we so want to pass on. Then he says, After a lot of questions and investigation, I concluded that young people are being overwhelmed by internet pornography. The easy access our kids have to pornography is distorting their views of morality and the Christian faith. And so this led him and other Christian leaders of our day who work with youth and with others to do a massive study. And much of what I'm going to share to you today is a product of this study. Folks, I have been receiving a whole lot of information from Christian leaders that I trust for many years who say this issue that we're dealing with today is a key issue and we have to address it in the church. It's a tough one, but we must address it. I also know it from what I know about people within our church. This is not just something out here. This is here. If you're a believer and caught in the grip of pornography, it is my hope and my prayer and the prayer of our leaders, our elders in the church, that you will see God's way out, that this will be a turning point for you. Okay, we know that pornography is bad. And the internet, well, three things. The internet makes it affordable, accessible, anonymous. Affordable, accessible, and anonymous. 30 years ago, pornography arrived, if you were a subscriber, in a mail wrapped in a discreet black plastic bag. Or you checked it out from the rental section, the special section, which was behind the curtain there in the neighborhood video store. But how times have changed. Today, pornography slips uninvited or even invited into every screen with an internet connection. And folks, it is big business. Sex sells because we're sinners, because of flesh. And so pornography's revenue, well, it's hard to quantify. Not everyone agrees on what is pornography. Some may say, well, this picture here, that's not pornography. They got a swimsuit on. Others would say, oh, that's definitely pornography. Many reputable, quote-unquote, businesses don't want to be directly associated with it. And then there's this issue of rampant piracy. But either way, let me show you some numbers, just to put us in the right area. Low estimates put pornography business per year at $6 billion. Low. Others, at twice as much as the NBA, above what Hollywood makes, above what Netflix makes, above even what the NFL makes per year. That's the middle estimate. High estimates put it at $97 billion a year. It's just to give us an idea of how huge this is. This is huge. It's become called the new drug. It's called an epidemic, the silent epidemic. But much of it originates in regular households with wireless signals. 50% of young women ages 13 to 24 who use porn say they have sent a nude image via text, email, or smartphone app. Because of the advent of personal media, the accessibility afforded by the internet, and the potential money-making that comes from it, internet porn is huge. And it has a massive effect on the attitude of our culture toward it. 3/4 of young men, 13 to 24, talk with their friends about porn at least occasionally. And 9 out of 10 of them say that how they talk about porn is encouraging, accepting, or neutral. Did you hear that? 13 to 24, 3/4 of them, of those 9 out of 10, say they talk about porn in, an encouraging, accepting, or neutral way. Porn, you know,
Everybody does it. It's okay. It's good. You know, it's fine. It is commonly understood that most of their friends regularly use porn, and as a general rule, it's ho-hum. We're kind of ho-hum about it. Affordable, accessible, anonymous. It's okay, you know. But it's the enemy's lie. On January 24th of 1998, Ted Bundy, remember Ted Bundy? Ted Bundy was executed for murder. He admitted to 30 murders, but investigators suspect that the true number was much, much higher. In an interview with Dr. James Dobson, hours before his death, Bundy said this, "I've been in prison for a long time now and met a lot of men who were motivated to commit violence just like me. And without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography." Did you hear that? Every one of them was deeply involved in pornography. And this is from the lips of a serial killer. And this is a terrifying truth about pornography. It fuels destruction. It's not ho-hum. No. Let me give you some specific reasons that porn is so destructive. I'm going to give you five, and then we're going to look at what the scripture says about these five, okay? So let's look at five. Again, my desire for us as a church, for you, is to be what God has called you to be. And this issue here is one of the biggies of our day. We have to address it. We have the message of the gospel that frees us from the flesh. We can walk according to the Spirit. We can crucify the flesh. Let's do it. So listen. Number one, watching porn decreases sexual satisfaction. And these are some issues here, I understand. When we want to walk through this as appropriately as we can, but we cannot hide. We cannot stick our head in the sand. A study appearing in the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy in 2002 found when men and women were exposed to pictures of female centerfolds from Playboy penthouse, it significantly lowered their judgments about the attractiveness of the average person. Porn consumers eventually compare their spouse or whoever else with the images of porn models. Neurobiologist Peter Milner explains that our brains are wired to be attracted to that which is unfamiliar or novel, new things. That's why many of us, you know, you're on your phone. Oh, I've seen that. You go through, you want to find the new stuff, right? This inward drive is what helps us to learn new things and adapt to our environment. But he explains it is possible to become addicted to novelty and uncertainty. This is not just with sex, but also with other forms of media. But back to our topic. Over time, the brain that feeds on erotic media is trained to equate sexual excitement and novelty with pornography. And we find this in the scripture. For all of Solomon's, remember King Solomon's romantic wisdom and all his marital passion, which he wrote about through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was ensnared by this desire for variety. 1 Kings 11, we learned that Solomon eventually accumulated how many? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Pornography. He loved many foreign women. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Watching porn decreases sexual satisfaction. 2, watching porn disconnects us from real relationships. It trains users to detach emotionally from their sexual experience. Emotional involvement is detached. Dr. Gary Brooks, author of The Centerfold Syndrome, explains how pornography alters the way men think about romantic relationships. The pixels on the screen have no sexual or relational expectations of their own. This essentially trains men and women to desire the cheap thrill of fantasy over a committed relationship. Pornography trains men and women to be digital voyeurs, to prefer looking at women or men more than seeking out genuine relationships and intimacy. Pornography essentially trains men and women to be consumers, not lovers, to treat sex as a commodity, to think about sex as something that's on tap or on demand whenever you want it. Dr. Judith Reisman concludes rightly, pornography castrates men visually, training them to retreat into the realm of fantasy if they want to be aroused. Instead of being a man and engaging in relationships, you become a coward. You pull away from relationships. We might say that the real problem with pornography isn't that it shows us too much sex, but that it doesn't show enough. It cannot possibly give us an experience of real intimacy. Porn treats sex as one-dimensional, packages and a pixel. It rips it from a relational context. It only titillates us with images of sex, but cannot offer that true experience of closeness, intimacy, care, love with another person. You remember the story of 2 Samuel 12, Amnon. Remember Amnon? Amnon was a son of David, and he was infatuated with his stepsister Tamar. He follows the advice, the bad advice of one of his younger friends, who tells him to pretend to be sick, and then deceptively invites his sister to come over to his house, the one that he was infatuated, to help him while he's sick. Well, she does. But he did that so that he could overpower her, and he ends up raping her. Immediately after this, he's disgusted with her. His desire was only to use her body, to not treat her as a woman made in God's image. His last words to her as she leaves him, the last words that she hears from him are found in 2 Samuel 12, verse 17. He says this, "Then he called his young man who attended him," this is Amnon, "and said, 'Now throw this woman out of my presence,' and locked the door behind her." Watching porn, following that lust, the flesh, disconnects us from real relationships. Number three, watching porn lowers users' view of women and men. And that follows right after this. It trains us to see women or men as just sexual commodities, not people created in God's image. In our increasingly sexualized culture, it is often women who are most dehumanized. They're constantly being rated for size, shape, harmony of their body parts and all that. And often pornography, even mainstream media, portrays women as people who are glad to be used and objectified. And it isn't surprising to find women increasingly devalued in our porn-saturated culture. The backlash that comes from this. Naomi Wolf, writing for the New York Magazine, puts it best. Today, real naked women are just bad porn. The onslaught of porn doesn't train men to value women as people made in the image of God, but instead trains people to see fewer and fewer women as porn-worthy. It's measuring up to this artificial standard that God never intended. Number four, watching porn desensitizes users to cruelty. In a 2007 presentation, Robert Wotnitzer, Anna Bridges, and Michelle Chang released the results of their study of the top 50 porn recordings. After analyzing 304 distinct scenes in this film, in these films, they found 3,376 acts of verbal or physical aggression. 3,376 acts of verbal or physical aggression. That's an act of aggression every minute and a half. In 95% of the scenes, the person receiving the act of aggression reacted neutrally or positively to it. These numbers give us a glimpse of the sexual education, because that's what's happening, that porn consumers receive. They're receiving this. Many of them are children as young as 8 and 9 years of age, and they're routinely being put here. Sex is aggression, cruelty, degradation. And those who do it enjoy it. They want people to do it to them. Why is it that we have all this problem? The Bible teaches that women and men are made in the image of God. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're His creation. The lie of pornography teaches that sex and looks are everything. That's not it. But we need to listen to the truth of God's Word and see how destructive pornography is to God's plan and to His people and to people in general. Number 5, our last one. Watching porn makes users want to watch more porn. It taps into this neurocircuitry of our brain. There's a very physical aspect to pornography. It makes us desire this rush of sexual energy again and again. Studies have found that pornography is rewiring the brain at alarming rates. According to a wealth of information available online concerning pornography and its effects on the brain, it is much like a narcotic drug. It releases dopamine and other chemicals that reward the act with euphoric feelings. And when you do it a lot of this is dumped into your system. But the problem is, the more you do it, the less it fulfills. And so you have to have worse and more. Frequent discharges of dopamine make one more tolerant of the chemical, requiring one to crave higher levels of it. And this is where it becomes very, very deviant and bad. And these are just a few things, and we'll leave it at that. Internet porn makes porn easy to get, and it offers massive amounts of it. Internet porn is a powerful toy of Satan. It's highly damaging. It's accessible, affordable, anonymous. And the Lord warns us about it. The first three things that He tells us about when we talk about the flesh deal with the issues that we find here in pornography and in internet pornography. But the Bible also teaches us how to overcome this. Crucify it and walk by the Spirit. Crucify it. We've seen 5 reasons to crucify it. We've already seen that. One of the ways is to know what's going on. Now you might say, you know what, I'm not an internet guy. I'm not an internet gal. I'm just not. This is not an issue for me. In fact, I came this morning and, woo, you're talking about that in church? I understand. But you live in a world where this is huge. And if you follow Jesus Christ, you are called to make followers of Jesus Christ to battle this kind of stuff. And this is how God wants us to do it. We crucify and we walk by the Spirit. So let's take these 5 and see what the Scriptures, what God tells us about this. This is God's wisdom in a wired world to help us crucify and walk by the Spirit. Our first one was watching porn decreases sexual satisfaction. But as we walk by the Spirit, God has designed a way for huge, true satisfaction. That's marriage. The marriage relationship is for true satisfaction. It reflects a good Creator who gives good things and says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God wants you to have sex. A lot of it. Because it's good. And it accomplishes His command. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. But the enemy destroys it. He takes it out of context. God has designed marriage for true satisfaction, and sex is a gift to enhance it. If you are single, it's worth waiting for. It's worth waiting for. If you die single, Well, it's infinitely better than being destroyed by porn. Infinitely better. Number two, watching porn disconnects us from real relationships. Love is the deep desire of all humans. God has made it that way. And His command to us is love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor as yourself. We long to be loved by others and we long to love others. And that longing is quantified for us in God's wonderful good commandment. The thing that we want and the thing that we need, God has commanded us to do. How good is that? Through Jesus Christ, we are free to love people in real relationships because He eternally loved us. We are loved eternally by Him. Cultivate true relationships. Married folks, pursue oneness with your spouse physically and mentally, emotionally. Three, watching porn lowers users' views of men and women. Well, God created women and men in His image, and as such are worthy of great honor. For the man, this means not letting your eyes stray, not letting your heart stray away, but instead making a covenant with your eyes. This is what Job said, to not look with lust upon a girl. Job chapter 31, verses 1 to 7. For women, this means refusing to see your own worth through the lens of porn standards. Know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139, verse 14. And that your inner beauty is unfading, 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. Know it! Don't let the world, don't let Satan tell you that this standard that's here. No! Look to the Scriptures. Number four, watching porn desensitizes users to it and makes cruelty sexy. That's what porn does. Sex is designed by God to give expression to love. God has promised to maintain the cause of the afflicted and the destitute. We read that in the Psalms. And that includes, you know, those whose brokenness has led them to a life of prostituting themselves before the camera. God can and does redeem and rescue. God redeemed Rahab, the prostitute, brought her into the fold of God's people. He forgives sins. He defends the honor of those who are weak. And we, as the church, need to do the same. Our culture is being ripped apart by this epidemic. We need to be ready to come to the rescue. God does it all the time. Number five, watching porn makes users want to watch more porn. You know, sex becomes our master when we believe that the lies that porn tries to sell to us, that sex is something that we need. If sex is a need, then we feel justified when we don't get it and we get mad at the world and we get mad at God because this is something that we rightly deserve. No. No. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is our master. And He provides perfectly for us. Do you believe that? Does God, our Master, our Lord, our Shepherd, our Savior, does He provide? Yes, He does. He's our Master. We wait on Him to provide and to keep us from being enslaved by the enemy to our own destruction. Pornography. I'm convinced that it is demonic. It's a very clear and present danger in our society. A tool, especially internet pornography, that is destroying the church. But the Lord God gives the power to men and women to build His kingdom. Pornography strikes at the very core of who people are. I've said it before, but why do you think that the sign of the covenant for God's people in the Old Testament was circumcision? Why? strikes at the very core of who a man is. That belongs to me. If you're mine, that belongs to me. And every time you see it, you remember. I'm serious. Affordability, accessibility, anonymity. You know, these are the three-legged power, to put it that way, of internet porn. Affordability, accessibility, anonymity. When we walk by the Spirit, we can take out at least one of those legs, and a two-legged stool cannot stand. It's going to fall. Pornography thrives on secrecy. Internet pornography thrives on secrecy. So get help. Now's the time. Men, women, now's the time. Get help. If you're a user and you want to stop, get help. It takes courage, yes. But the enemy wants to shame you into staying isolated, into despairing. God offers grace and forgiveness. You can be free of this horrible burden. You can. Pornography won't go away through your own sheer willpower. No, it won't. You need others around you. It's too hard. Get help. Get accountable. This is God's way in this world. Why does He say to us, you need to be in church? You need to be at church. You need to be there. Why does He say that? We can't do it alone. We need each other. We need to be supported. We need to be accountable. This is the way of the Spirit. He gives us the church to support us and keep us accountable. If you need help, come see me. I have been there. I have been there. And God, in His grace and mercy, has freed me. He can do it to you. He can do it. Come see me. Come and see anyone, any of us elders. We would love to help you find God's way. We have tools. Take the courage. Break that cycle of secrecy. We have women. If you're a woman and you're in this, statistics are that one-third of every woman has issues with pornography because of the internet. Come. We can do it. Number three, get tools. Get tools. We have tools. We have weapons to help in the battle. Yes, the enemy, Satan, has toys. But we have weapons. We have the Scriptures. And we also have very practical things that can help you deal with temptation on your devices. There are many, many tools out there that God provides to help you with your device, whether it's a smartphone or a computer or a tablet. And you can become accountable for that. These are all given to you and me by God. My dear ones, this is a huge issue. That's why we're doing this four-week study. Wisdom for a Wired World. And that wisdom comes to us from the Scriptures. And we've seen today those three biggies of Satan. Flesh. But we can walk by the Spirit. We can crucify the flesh. It's here. God shows us how. This is not anything new. The form in which it comes to us, yeah, it's new. And it's a biggie. But we have the tools. We have the church. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the good news of the gospel that sets us free. Jesus Christ calls us to freedom, to the abundant life. This is the gospel. That's why it's good news. He died so that you and I can be set free from sin. We can crucify the flesh, and we can walk by the Spirit. Please, do. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You have rescued us. None of us here, Lord, none of us is without the need for Your salvation and rescue. And Lord, that doesn't just go away when we come and we are set free from the guilt of sin, from the penalty of sin. We live in a world where the flesh is still a reality for believers. But we have two. As believers, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit given to us. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Lord, we pray. If there is anyone here this morning, I pray, who is in bondage, who is struggling, more than that, who is a user of internet pornography, and yes, maybe they are addicted to it, Lord. Yes, that's possible. That's very real. We pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, you will convict, give that person courage to get help, to get accountable, to get the tools to walk by the Spirit. We're here as a church. You are the good God. You are the one who rescues us. You give us freedom. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, work in our minds. Lord, we are called to be those who make disciples of Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we become followers of Christ, we are set free. So Lord, we pray that you would do your work in our congregation. Do your work in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. Help us to be light in this community, in this society where this is such a huge issue. Father, we know that the enemy is not playing games. He wants to destroy. And so we have to be deliberate. This is a matter of life and death. And so we pray, Lord, that we would take it to heart. The gospel is good news. It's alive and it's powerful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.